It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventures in Business podcast. This is Amy Zander, your host with ZD Media, and I am back from my excursion in California. It was extended a couple days due to flight delays and that kind of stuff, but I wasn't sad about having to spend more time in the sunshine. So that was good. I was off on my own adventure while Lisa held down the fort here. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Amy. You know, the same time you were upheld, my son was stuck here in Michigan, so he didn't get to enjoy the sunshine. But that whole traveling during spring break, yeah, we got caught with a couple extra days ourselves. So we're glad to have you back. Glad to have you on our show. And I am looking forward to hearing from our guest, Desiree. We were actually recording, I was trying to think back, Kristen Ray. She's an author. And when we asked her, who else do you think should be on the show? She had mentioned Desiree, and I kind of started stalking her a little bit. And I
like we do.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. She also hosts a podcast. She's a consultant, an educator, a wife, a mother. But we're going to turn it over to Desiree. Welcome to the show, Desiree.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Absolutely. So share with us, tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, first I have to say, I love the way you asked that question. We live in a world where it's what do you do? And so asking just who you are, you kind of encapsulated everything. I'm an educator, I'm a truth teller, I'm a wife, I'm a mom. By day, I work at Michigan State University in the entrepreneurship realm. I love coaching humans. My life is about helping others live really great lives. And so that is, in a nutshell, who I am and what I do.
So expand a little bit on what you said. You're a truth teller. I want to know more about that.
Yes. So I am a Jesus girl. I'm always careful where I say that. But on my podcast, I marry the truth in scripture and the world and being successful. And how do you be a successful human and have, you know, do all the right things, and not all the right things, but, you know, live in a world of ethics and of responsibility. And I think, you know, my son, he's amazing and five, and he's into Spider-Man, and in Spider-Man, it says with great power comes great responsibility. And I think that's really important. And so in a world where, you know, we're driven by, you know, technology and, you know, sometimes we can hide behind screens and all of the things, just bringing truth into the world and in a way that's gentle and kind and uplifting and encouraging, right? In my podcast, I say it a lot. You don't have to take the Bible as your truth. I just use it as examples of the stories, right? And so being able to help and support people, mostly women, but I work with a lot of college-aged men, student athletes, just helping them to navigate their goals and their journeys and just finding their path is really important to me.
Nice. What is the name of your podcast for our listeners?
It is Life Out Loud with Des.
Okay. So tell us, how did you get started with your podcast?
It fell in my lap, and that sounds bananas. It started in the COVID pivot. If you go all the way back to episode one of season one, I talk through kind of how it got started and the why, but it started during really COVID when we were all in quarantine. And I think probably a lot of us took second looks at our lives maybe, and for the first time sometimes, but I realized that there was something more I had to give. And I had been so busy that I didn't hone in on going and doing it. And so I knew it needed to be a thing when in different areas of my life that were not at all connected, an idea of a podcast started coming up, and I heard it probably 4, 5, 6 times. And I was like, okay, I need to go do something about this. And serendipitously, I met the guy who's now edits them and, you know, helps me to get them all clean and polished for the air. And it all just fell together. And I'm a creator at heart. And so writing them is the easy part. You know, coming up with the content is what I do. I don't know. Being able to pull a little bit of my day job. I mean, I at Michigan State, I'm so I'm the director of student success and advising. I teach a few classes on mindset, on business a little bit. I teach our capstone, really focusing on branding. And so pulling in that work and being able to be a truth teller around it and uplift people and encourage people is kind of how the genesis of it all, where it started. And now we're in season two.
So, you know, it's really interesting the way that you share. Yeah, I do some teaching and some things, you know, in my day job. But there was this photo on LinkedIn where you're with Mel Tucker and his team.
So, hey, yes.
Did that come about?
So I have always had a passion for working with athletes. I just always have. I grew up in sports. I have the mindset of an athlete. I didn't play past the high school level, right? Unfortunately, I was a little too short and probably a little too slow for my sports, but it's ingrained in who I am. And a lot of times we see, so there's a skill set that really successful humans have. And in entrepreneurship, we say it's the entrepreneurial mindset. It's really the success mindset though. And oftentimes athletes hone it on the field and they don't hone it in their personal lives. And so through great relationships, I was able to pitch this idea of, you know, coming together. And gratefully, I work with some great colleagues who also support it. Without them, definitely wouldn't be a thing. But I was able to take the mindset work that I teach in the classroom and go teach the guys. I've rolled it out obviously with football and then women's basketball and also women's rowing at Michigan State. And so it's their skills for living really great, compelling lives and then going to tell really great, compelling stories when we go out into the world in our careers.
I'm so happy to hear that these things are going on at Michigan State. I am an MSU graduate. I graduated
Yay!
In 99, I guess it was, okay. 98. It's a journalism degree. And I was awesome. Given zero life skills as to mm-hmm. how to even find a job or mindset, any of that stuff like that. That just wasn't available then. So it is right. so good to hear that that is a thing now and that you're heading it up. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, I might be teaching it, but it's the buy-in, it's the vision, it's the coaches, it's our leaders that are making it happen and allowing me to do it. So I might get in front of the room and teach them a lot of stuff, but it's really the people behind the scenes. It's Coach Tucker, it's his vision, it's Coach Merchant, it's, you know, our rowing coach, it's those people who really do that work. And it's the people who work at the Burgess Institute who allow me to do the work, right? So definitely not, I cannot take all the credit.
So you were saying how you took what you do in your day job and mm-hmm. you're able to incorporate that into your podcast. What would be an example?
This season is about living, it's kind of a curriculum or a roadmap of living a great life. And so it started with being a great leader. And so for leadership, I talk a little bit about Joshua in the Old Testament, right? I think he was one of the most compelling leaders of our time. And take out all the biblical stuff if you want. Take out the Jesus, because I understand that that's not everybody's thing. And so even looking at him as a leader, though, like looking at him as someone who led millions of people, like 2 million people in an effort to go do something, like that takes compelling leadership skills. And so that's just one example of, you know, pulling what I think is truth or pulling what resonates with me and being able to share that in a way that leads, that, you know, helps others. And I just think of our leaders, and it doesn't matter the industry. I think, you know, everybody, when we think through ethics, when we think through our social responsibility, when we think through, you know, all of these pieces of it, I think it's important to talk about. It's not being talked about enough. And so that's just a small example of how I try and pull it together.
One of my goals is to get leadership training in the high school levels, right? To start doing some of these life skills. And that's what everybody's like, oh, we need that.
Amen. Right? Like, yes, I have high school students. I have two high school kids. So yes, absolutely. Kind of like a little bit how like Dale Carnegie is up in Ovid Elsie and stuff like that. That's a really good program too. That's actually where Lisa and I met through Dale Carnegie group.
Okay.
When we had Beautiful. Some high school kids in our group, and I was blown away by the stuff that they brought to the table. Mm-hmm. And Lisa, whatever I can do to help you do that, let me know, because that is so important.
I love it. So we should talk offline, because we are actually with the Burgess Institute at Michigan State. We're putting together a summer program for high school students right now. And I believe it's just, you know, for 1 year, we received a grant to be able to do it. But I would love to talk offline and kind of share a little bit of what we're doing and
It'd be great. I would love to hear. But, you know, but going back to with that solid foundation that you're building with leaders, why is that important to you? What is the motivation behind this?
Oh, gosh. I feel like there's a lot. So the more I've done, I've been producing my podcast, I've read statistics that break my soul a little bit. And a couple of them recently, one's on loneliness and the other's on resilience. So we're finding this generation of college students right now is the first generation where resilience is on the decline. I have a 5-year-old kid. So part of it's selfish. I don't want him to grow up in a generation where people don't know how to be resilient. But I also think in life, in the hard way, I mastered a lot of these skills along the way. And if I can reach back and go pull someone up and teach them now, that's my call. Like, that's the call on my life. I can't ignore that. And so that's kind of the why for that one. When we think through just the world we live in and technology, and I love social media, but it is also one of the most divisive things that we've ever created as humanity. And I think being able to, so right now there's a statistic that talks about mothers of young children and college students. Well, I say college students, people, adults, ages 18 to 24, which is basically our college generation, are feeling massive amounts of loneliness. I say in my podcast, that's not just a Taco Tuesday. Like, that's not an easy fix. That's massive amounts of loneliness. We are walking around two of our probably most vulnerable age groups, right? Like our young adults who are trying to figure out who they are in the world. And then moms of young kids who probably feel lonely anyways are feeling lonely. And like, I have to go do something about that. Like, I couldn't read those statistics and not do something to take action. And I've built this curriculum and I need to go get it out in the world.
I would extend that to high school kids too, not just like mm-hmm. that 18 to 24. I'm speaking from experience. Maybe that's all I know. I haven't read any actual stats, but I have high school kids and all their, you know, their friends and stuff. But my son in particular, who's a freshman, he always talks about being lonely. Always. That's his biggest thing. And it's hard for him to make friends. I mean, you know, COVID pandemic shutdown did a number on high school mm-hmm. kids, you know, I mean, everybody, but I think high school kids in particular, because this is where their other hormones are raging. They're figuring out who they 100%. Are. They're like, whatever. And now all of a sudden they can't talk to anybody. Like it's like he almost lost his ability to make friends. Like it's so hard for him, and he would hate it if he knew I was saying this on this podcast, but it's true. And I hurt for him, you know, and we're doing everything we can to help, but it's interesting. It's hard. Really.
I think building on that, two things. The first one is this past fall, I teach like an intro to business, an intro to entrepreneurship, and I've taught it for 6 years. And this fall was the most brutal classroom experience I've ever had. These students, like, I did everything. And I like to think in my mind, I'm kind of charismatic. Like, I pulled out every stuff. I brought in candy. I brought in, you know, I tried to do everything I could to pull them into this space. And they're just, it changed, the COVID changed them. Like, one person said, well, it's really, you're teaching high school juniors, like on a developmental level, really. And that makes sense. But how do we have to do something to support this generation. But then I think, you know, forward looking ahead, is it everybody, right? Like, have we all just gotten rocked these past 2 years? And because we live in a world with highlight reels constantly at our fingertips on our phones, like, are we all just believing everybody's fine? And not that everybody's not fine, but are we all just believing that we're great? Everything's great. Of course it's great. Why wouldn't it be? Because, you know, we're posting vacation pictures and we're posting job promotions and we're posting all the things, but I can't help but wonder, like, man, are we really doing okay? You know, as a whole?
Funny that you mentioned the whole social media piece and everybody's perfect world is posted on social media. 100%. We don't see the things that, and I was listening to some women speak and they were talking about the Facebook moms, but they call them something. I don't even remember what term they used, but you know, it's just where I want this perfect life. Like they have, they're all put together. They have everything they want or need, and that's not truth, right? We're only seeing those highlight reels. And it's really interesting. I speak with a lot of people too that are also pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
They are empty nesters, or they're done with their obligation of paying for student loans for their kids, and they're 50 plus years old trying to figure out, who do I want to be when I grow up? What makes me happy? I don't know what makes me happy because I've been doing so many things to make other people happy and comfortable. Mm-hmm. Who am I? And so I think it's very important to instill that in any platform that you can. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, so I, as a marketing person who is in social media all the time, every day for hundreds of platforms because of all my clients, I just want to put out there that I am doing my best and my own crusade to dissuade people that my life is perfect, because I post all the stupid stuff that happens to me in my life. Like the other day, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon before I realized I had been wearing my pants inside out all day. Like, you know, I'm going to admit that, right? Like, but I also, I go back and forth about social media all the time because it's an amazing marketing tool, right?
100%.
But as a social experiment, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. But I do like this trend going on recently on Instagram where it's mostly women that I see doing this. But they'll use a filter and then they'll show their real face and then they'll use a filter and they're like, these filters are ridiculous. And I'm like, we need more people like pointing out that like not everything is perfect on social media, right? We do look like normal people.
I love that you do that. I think it's needed and it's necessary. Full disclosure, before our son was actually born, we went through 19 months of infertility before him and 24 months of infertility after him. And I blogged about it. And I can't tell you the amount of people just in sharing truth and sharing like what we were going through and what was real for us reached out and were like, oh my God, me too. Like, that's our story too. Like that was a thing too. And so I appreciate the realness that you are sharing. I think more people need to do it. It's so important. I think I probably need to get better at it because I'm so focused on marketing the podcast, but maybe pulling back a layer and, you know, showing people hunkered down in my closet recording and, you know, the messiness of life where I'm carrying my son out of Target surfboard style while he's throwing a fit and getting like side eyes. That's important stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Lisa and I have a mutual friend, Jamie Leitner, who was one of our first guests on the podcast, and she is a parenting coach. Okay.
Love it.
He is so funny. Like she talks about all the dirty stuff about parenting, like how she, like when she's giving her kids cereal 3 nights in a row for dinner because she's just too tired or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
She's so transparent. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Like we need more people like her for sure. But this is definitely a tangent we've gotten on. But okay. So for our next question, so what are you currently like really excited about, either with your day job, your podcast, whatever what you're working on?
I'm definitely excited for my podcast. I have now produced all of season two. So that's cool. Thinking about season three, what that might be, what it might look like. I'm going to pick that up in the fall. And I'm excited for my day job, kind of what's happening there. I think we're cultivating some good conversations and then really I'm starting to get coaching clients. So that's a ton of fun. I love working with humans. And so being able, like knowing they trust me enough to reach out is a really cool thing. And then being able to walk them through this, you know, this thing that I've built, I think it's been really exciting. So I'm excited about those three.
So talk a little bit about your coaching business.
Yeah. So essentially it's walking people through like figuring out their goals and going backwards, like giving them specific measurables. It's built on accountability, right? We can have the best laid plans, but if we're not in action and doing something, nothing's ever going to happen. But also let's be honest, I can say that and then hit my snooze button at 5:30 when I need to get up and work out, right? So who am I accountable to? And so I person I text at 5:30 every morning and they text me back and we know we are up and we're going. But I think it's true for everybody, right? We all need those things and somebody just to keep you going forward, keep the ball moving. Sometimes it's teaching them the skills. I think values are really important to know. Like, what are your five values? I'm obsessed with that work. I think as humans, if we like what kind, I'm a little bit of an idealist, but what kind of world could we create if we met each other as our values instead of anything else that we use to judge each other by, or, you know, make assumptions of each other by. So I think that work is important and I incorporate that into it. So values, goals, and really looking at the person, learning about them, what makes them tick, what makes them, what inspires them, right? Like we can have the best ideas, but if we're not inspired by like a fire in our soul, then we don't often, it doesn't last. Like we need a why. And so helping people get really present to what that why is, and then constantly reminding them, you're doing this because this, oh yeah, pulls me back, pulls me into action. And so that's kind of the heart of coaching. It's really a three, it's focus, action, reflection, right? What are the goals? What's the action? And then how are we constantly refining it?
I know you said you just have a few clients, you're kind of newer mm-hmm. to that. So mm-hmm. are you focusing on just people in general, business owners, women? Is there like a niche that you're going after?
Yeah, that's a good question. Over the years in my career, I've mentored and coached and taught thousands of people. And so I'm just doing this. I think now I'm making it a formal thing that I'm going to do this. And my niche is women. I think that's where I can speak into that wholeheartedly. But I also have some athletes that I work with that we are doing some great things. And I think it's because I'm obsessed with that mindset. And so I'm able to help them progress. But I also know I'm not a man and I'm not, you know, there's certain things that I can't relate to about their life. And so I feel that my niche really is, it's this, you know, it's women who have goals. Maybe they're moms, maybe they're not, maybe they have careers, maybe they don't. But right now it's that subset and seeing where it goes.
What do you want to accomplish this year?
Whew, that's a good question. I think probably the biggest one is continuing my podcast, continuing the growth. And I think I'm on a good path, but now I feel like with season three coming up, like now it's a fork in the road. Now, what do you really want to do with it? So that's a piece of it. And I think the coaching piece is the other one, you know, being able to really get that client base that, you know, I can work with and help and make a difference. I don't have, unfortunately, I work in higher ed. You'd think I have the assessment thing down pat of like, what are your measurables? What's, you know, I don't have a number. I'm a feeling girl. I go by my gut feelings. I go by what it has to feel like. If by December 31st of 2022, if I am waking up and I have a happy marriage, I have a happy son, I have a peaceful home, and I do work, whether it's coaching or whether it's my work at Michigan State or what, you know, whatever that work looks like. If I can do work where I'm fulfilled and I'm reaching back and pulling people up, that's accomplishment to me. That's in a nutshell. I don't know if that was helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
That fulfillment piece is huge. And that's, they're calling this the great resignation. And yet people are navigating to that fulfillment. And I mm-hmm. think that was part of the pandemic and going back to the loneliness and in the discovery and what really matters now that people are looking for exactly what you're describing 2022 to end like for you.
Right. Yeah.
Even to continue on. So,
yeah. So I have a question with your podcast and you said you're done with season two, probably releasing it and then mm-hmm. working on season three. This is a question. It's a personal question just because, you know, Lisa and I talk about our podcast all the time and what we want to do with it. And we're working on monetizing it because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's expensive mm-hmm. to produce a podcast.
Yes, it and, is.
So I'm just wondering, like specifically, you said you're excited about your podcast and working on it, but like how do you know if your podcast is a success to you? Like, what do you need for it to happen?
Oh man, specific measurable. This is what I teach. Yeah. What is my specific?
Yeah. Are you looking to make money off of it, cover your costs, reach a certain amount of people? Like, you know, cause like I have this other podcast that I do, I've been doing it mm-hmm. for years and I mm-hmm. barely even look at how many downloads are. I mean, I just do it cause mm-hmm. it's fun. And I don't even know how many people are listening to it. If anyone's listening right. to it, it's just fun and I don't care. It's like a hobby.
Yeah.
And this one's a little bit more serious. It's more business minded and we want to, you know, build it. And yeah. so, yeah, I was just asking like what your goals are, like, how do you know you want to continue with it? Or if it's working for you, like, is it bringing you clients? I mean, you know, what are those
right. things? That's a really good question. I think for me, like I said, I'm a feeling person and this probably is not helpful when we think about assessment and all of that, but as long, like, when I stop hearing that it's resonating with people, I know either I have to pivot it or it's done, right? And I feel like as long as something, it like someone is messaging saying, thank you, this spoke to me, right? Like, or think, you know, I heard this. And so it's, I'm not, I mean, full disclosure, I'm not super interested in the growth and the numbers and monetizing it. And yeah, that'd all be great. Of course, who wouldn't want that? But I want it to resonate with people. And I feel like if my message resonates with one person, then to me, it's a success. That might sound silly. Definitely probably not the best business-minded approach to it, right? As we think of, you know, growth and marketing and all of that. But for me, it's about helping others. I mean, we all go through life and hard times, and I had people come around me and pull me forward. And like, it's my job, like it's, I've taken it on as my job. Literally, it's my job to do the same for others.
I listened back to some of our initial recordings, you know, and everything, you get better over time and things get better. And sure. I have to remind myself, it wasn't about what Lisa Fisher's saying. It's not about what Amy is saying. This was designed for our guests to come and tell their story and to tell about them. So when I'm stuttering and I'm using the same words over and over and like, wow, that's awesome. You know? Yeah. It's not about me. It's about others and giving back to others.
Right.
So thank you for sharing that. That's where
you're
headed.
Yeah, I love that.
Excellent. Excellent. So what types of frustrations do you have right now? What are some frustrations that you're experiencing?
That's a really good question. I am a person who I don't need to know A to Z. Let's do A to C and go, like be in action, go do something. And I'm learning that the whole world doesn't live that way. And I say that tongue in cheek because obviously, right? But that is something that has been lately so in my face. And I know it's a lesson I have to learn. Like, I feel like just breathe, slow down, be still, whatever, you know, calming thing you want to insert there. I feel like that's what's being refined in me. And so that's probably the biggest, but it also causes obviously frustration because there's no refinement without a little fire. So that's definitely a frustration right now. I want to just move and go and we can't. So it's not always the case.
I get it. One of the questions that I had been meaning to ask you, content creation is easy for you. You've got your episodes already, your seasons 1 and 2 completed. You're working on season 3. Are you ever considering writing a book?
That's the podcast thing, like how the podcast came about. The book has been sprinkled in over the years and I politely just push it away. I don't know. I think I have a story in me that people might want to hear. Maybe. I don't know. It's a very scary process to me. So yeah, I did help my mom just write a book. So that was fun. She just wrote a children's book. But for me, I mean, yes, it's something that's been on the docket. It's full disclosure, I do have a little folder on my iPad that has lots of little snippets of things that could maybe be something one day, someday, but that's where I'm at with that. Maybe I should do some goal coaching around that one.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that got a book in them that they're slowly working on. Absolutely. I mean, I've got several. We interviewed John Mashney, who's a local lawyer, and I didn't know him. You know, he just came on the show and I thought we were going to be talking about lawyer stuff, and that hardly ever came up. We talked about all the children's books that he and his family writes together.
That's awesome.
And it was amazing. And he had said that he was working on a book, a nonfiction kind of epiphany kind of book, you know, life story kind of book. And he wasn't really getting it done. And then a friend of his was like, you know, you really should start writing children's books with all these stories you tell your kids.
Yeah.
And he ditched the book he had been working on for years and went after the children's stories. And now they have like
awesome
wild success with them. And I was like, wow, that's so cool.
That is very cool. I love it.
One of the things that I like to ask is, where are you getting your inspiration from? But before you answer that question, we had the pleasure of having John Maxwell, leadership guru, speaking Amazing. At our conference. And it was at a secular conference. And somebody asked him, where does he get all his content, right? And he paused. And I kind of nudged the woman next to me. I said, from the Bible. And that was exactly what he said, you know, that he gets a lot of his leadership training and his inspiration coming from the Bible. Yeah. What are you reading or listening to currently where you're getting your inspiration?
I don't want to say that I am too, but I am too. Like that's, it is. I spent the last 2 years like getting super serious about, I'd spent a lot of years, I feel like just wrestling with stuff and just like trying to, that's what you do in your 30s, right? You think you're invincible in your 20s and you hit your 30s. And I feel like that's where you start to really wrestle with life, everything and anything that it encompasses. And the last 2 years I've spent just digging through my Bible, digging through Bible. I can't tell you how many Bible studies I've gone through in 2 years, just needing, like devouring truth, needing to know the truth, needing to know like what I consider truth. Not everybody does, but that's where it comes from. It comes from learning. I mean, I feel like reading the Bible is no different than reading like a biography about somebody's life. Like that's what it is, you know? And so reading how these people in this book lived, and it wasn't always pretty, and it wasn't always, you know, good and holy and righteous and all of those things. And I feel like there's so much we can learn from that. We can glean from that. And so it is, it's from that book.
It's history. It's poetry. Mm-hmm. There's so much that's buried in there that if you look for it, yeah, mm-hmm. you find it. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Are you listening to any other podcasts or things that you really like that you want to share with the listeners?
Let me think about this for a second. I'm obsessed with Stephen Furtick. I think his messages are super relevant. Even if you're not a Jesus person, he talks a lot about a lot and he makes it really relevant. So I listen to him yell at me a lot. I've gotten my husband hooked on him, which is cool. Who else am I listening to right now? I feel like if it's not some sort of Tony Robbins, Stephen Furtick, like uplifting, pull you forward message, it's probably my music. I get lost in music, which I think it's good. It's cathartic. It's helpful. It's all of those things. And so I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm not super interesting. I'm obsessed with Ted Lasso. If that's like one thing I feel like I consume that I love. We're not big beyond sports. We don't really do a ton of TV. And so it's a lot of just books and reading and
Is there anything that we've not asked you about that you would like to share with the listeners?
I don't think so. We covered work. We covered podcasts. I don't think so. Is there anything that you feel like is missing? Did I leave a gap anywhere?
No, I mean, we've had a great conversation, lots of nice tangents, things like that. So, I mean, yeah, we do usually ask our listeners about advice though. So we usually start out with like, have you ever been given any really bad advice? I think it's kind of interesting to hear about things that people, when they think they're helping and they're not.
Yeah. I feel like as far as bad advice, I mean, it just definitely depends on the circumstance. I feel like there's no one blanket response because in each circumstance, I think it depends on, you know, who's giving the advice and things like that. But I think as far as bad advice goes, I would say always just be, if we're mindful of the advice, I don't know that there's bad advice. Like if we're taking what's being told to us and trying it on and seeing if it fits and flipping it around and making sense of it, I don't know, like we're able to glean if it's good advice or bad advice or if it fits us. I don't know too many people who would intentionally give bad advice. It might not be sound. It might not be that they have the best wisdom, but that's my answer for bad advice, I think.
Yeah. What about some good advice? What's about like some really good advice you've ever received?
Listen more than you talk, and which is super hard, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
They really like to talk. Mm-hmm. Listen more than you talk and really read between the lines. Like we're all saying things. Like behind the scenes, we all show up with different, you know, energies and levels and paying attention, right? Like listen more than you talk and probably just pay attention, get into others' worlds and figure out who they are. It tells a really compelling story. And in turn, I think it opens up a door where you can help and where you can relate and connect.
Oh, no, I was just soaking that in, like, just thinking about it, like, for sure. Yeah, like, it's you're right. You know, it's very interesting. And I, truth be told, I've also been, like, I'm always working on listening more than I talk, because I like to talk, too. I mean, I host two podcasts, right? Clearly, I like to talk. But, yeah, it's definitely always a goal of mine. So that's good. That's good advice. So shamelessly, I'm going to ask you, like, is there any people at MSU that maybe you could help get on our show for us?
Ooh. Let me think a little bit more on it. I think there's some compelling people that could come tell good stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to write that down to loop back, because I think there's some good MSU specific, or also people in general?
Just people in general too. But I mean, okay. I know you have a lot of connections at MSU and they're a big force in our community here in Lansing. Yeah. And they do amazing. A lot of stuff, especially, we're definitely going to have that offline conversation about that program for the high school students too.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool.
Last question. And we'll, of course, include the stuff in the show notes, but how can people find your podcast and how can they find you?
Yes. So you can find me on my website, lifeoutloud.me. Also on social media, Instagram. I'm now back on Twitter, which is bananas. So on there, Facebook as well. And then just listening to the podcast you can pull it from my website, but also Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, and Apple Podcasts.
And is your social media handle Life Out Loud as well?
Life Out Loud with Des.
With Des. Okay. D-E-S. D-E-Z.
Okay. I got to throw a Z in there to make it a little different.
Hey, Z's my favorite letter. So, okay. All right. So sounds good. So thank you so much for being on our show. For all of our listeners, lots of goodies in this episode for sure. So much stuff to go check out. And like Lisa said, we'll have the links to everything that Desiree talked about on the show notes. So check that out, please. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
So great to meet you. So great.
Yeah. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to our show and coming on an adventure with us and Desiree. We release episodes now every Tuesday and Thursday. You can find us at zediamedia.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, please also visit zediamedia.com and click on connect. We hope you have a great day and find yourself on an adventure.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com and sign up.
Media production.